Well, amen. We took a couple weeks away from our study on the topic of a faith that walks through fire. I got a message last week that cracked me up. A family down around Austin had been listening to the message, The Faith That Walks Through Fire, Part 3. And they confessed to me that when I used the phrase yakety schmackety, the room just fell apart in laughter. And I said, well, you're welcome. Hey, you don't ever know. This is my promise to you. There's not another pastor in town that has the courage to use the phrase yakety schmackety. So there you go. But we're continuing our study on the faith that walks through fire. And since we have new folks with us today, and it's been a couple of weeks since we've been here, let me do a hard reset for us. We met a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. He's the king of the Babylonians. He's a great king. He's a powerful king. But he's a sinner, as we all are. And so Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he wanted to know what the dream meant, and he called all of the wisest people together in his kingdom and asked them to interpret the dream. Not only were they to tell him what the dream meant, but they were to tell them what the dream was. And when they told him, King, we can't do that, he goes, well, then I'll just kill all of you and your family. That's a little harsh, a little overreactive there. But Daniel, the Hebrew, was an advisor to the king, and Daniel sought a window, a little time, to consult the Lord and to see if he couldn't answer the king's question. Well, Daniel sought the Lord. The Lord provided him the information, and he came back and interpreted it for the king. Now, we mentioned over the last few weeks three essential keys of being used of the Lord. Now, I can't imagine that if you claim the name of Jesus as Savior, that you don't want to be involved in kingdom work. You don't want to be involved in telling the people the gospel of Jesus Christ and heaven as a home and all those things. I can't imagine. So, what are the three keys that we as believers need to make sure that we're doing if we're going to be usable? Well, the first one is we must find ourselves in a state of submission. Now, this is a choice. It's not an easy choice, and it's a choice that is ongoing, but we must submit our minds because what we think affects the way we feel. We must submit our hearts, and what we feel affects what we do, our will. So we must submit our minds, submit our hearts, and submit our will. And when we've done that, now we begin the preparation. That's another word for discipleship. You learn about the Lord, and you study about the Lord, and you do the things the Lord has you to do in preparation of being used. And then lastly, you step up to the plate and you do it. Everybody can be submitted. Everyone can be prepared, but only those who actually execute, actually step into the batter's box or step in, you know, to the need, only those are part of the process. Only those get used. And I just want to challenge you today. Are you stepping in? Or are you the one that's maybe waiting for someone else to do it? You know, when there's a need that's been made aware to you, it could be that God wants you to do it. Yeah. You know, it's funny. Everyone runs to the pastor's office. My first question is, well, does God want you to do it? Anyway, that's a whole different sermon. And so Daniel interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar. There was a statue, as you recall. It had a golden head, and that golden head represented the Babylonian Empire. It had a silver chest and arms, bronze belly and thighs, iron for legs, and iron and clay for the feet. And he went on to say that there would be a rock that would bring down this statue. And the king was so impressed, so overwhelmed, that he made Daniel kind of the vice president, if we were going to do modern day terms. And he made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego kind of governors. And what we see here, and John Maxwell tells us, is that leadership is influence. If we want to lead our society to faith, we must be influencers. And the only way we can influence people is to be leaders. And the only way we can be leaders is to be men and women of character. I taught about that in our Sunday school lesson just a little bit ago, is our word must be our bond. And so Daniel is absent from the scene. Over the next 18 years, give or take a little bit, the king got kind of swollen up with pride, when you're told that your kingdom's the best kingdom and that you're the golden head of the statue, pride creeps in, and over the next 18 years, Nebuchadnezzar builds a 90-foot statue of himself. He's not humble in the least. And he sets it out on a plane, and he calls all of his leaders together, and he says, hey, not only have I built this statue, but I've got a great band. And when the band begins to play, I just want you to bow. It's easy. The band plays, you bow, we're all good. Problem was, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, oh no, we won't bow. Because their conviction is that they only worship one God. And Nebuchadnezzar isn't him. And so when everyone else bowed down, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood up. And it's an amazing thing. You'll stand out when you stand up. Amen? Today, you don't have to go looking. If you just stand up for something, oh, everyone will find you for sure. And so if you recall, everyone runs to the king and kind of rats out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we don't have time to drill down on this, but I kind of wonder why the king wasn't there. But he wasn't. And the king calls them together. And he says, hey, guys, you know, as leaders here in Babylon, I expect you to do what everyone else I expect to do. And I really need you to do this because you're a leader and I want people to follow you and you need to follow what I'm telling you. And so I'm going to give you another chance because, you know what, I'm a nice guy. I'm a humble guy. Look at my 90-foot statue. He says, but I'm going to give you a second chance. Don't we all like second chances? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, hey, king, don't waste your time and ours. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power and your majesty. Because if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar says, if you don't bow, you're going to burn. We're going to toss you in a furnace. And these three men say, Lord, they say, king, don't bother because we're not going to bow. And if you choose to do this to us, it's okay because the God that we love and serve, he is able to deliver us. Now, that's a lot of talk when you're not standing at the mouth of the furnace. And here's where the rubber meets the road. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the God, the gold statue you have set up. Our God is able, but even if he doesn't. Now, Ronnie, that's some big words. Well, so what we see here is this, is Nebuchadnezzar was in crisis, and when that crisis led him to consideration. Crisis may cause us to consider God, but only conviction will cause us to remain with him. Now we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Guess what? Crisis. But you see, their conviction is the difference. Nebuchadnezzar starts wandering around into his own pride, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are men of conviction, and they stick and stand with the Lord. Daniel chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to throw them into the blazing fire. So what's amazing here is Nebuchadnezzar has returned to where he once came. Back in the previous chapter when he was upset with his wise persons, you remember, he got angry. And in his anger, he says, well, I'll just kill you all. Well, it's funny. He flies into a rage again, and he threatens his subordinates. I love this. Albert Einstein has this quote, which this was featured in a movie I watched on Netflix last night. I can't remember what the name of it was, but it was kind of funny. You can ask my wife. She laughed really hard. Anyway, I love this quote. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Can I tell you this? Our world is insane. Because all they talk about is wanting something different. But all they do is the same old thing. Amen. Isn't it true? Yeah. Yep. You just read the history books. Politicians, same old thing. Culture, different clothes, same old thing. Church, if we want something different, then we must be willing to do something different. Nebuchadnezzar went back to the same old thing because what? At least he's consistent. Can we all agree? It's easier to deal with someone who is consistent than never knowing where the target is. Do you have anyone in your life like that? You never know what you're going to get. One day they're heroes, next day they're zeros. And then one day they want to kiss you, the next day they want to kill you. You don't know. Every day is a mystery. I tell people all the time, I at least they're consistent. At least I know what I'm dealing with, right? The king returns to form. He commands for the fire to be made seven times more hot. Now, how pompous is that? How do you make a furnace seven times more hot? And how do they even know? This is just a bunch of hot air. See what I did right there? Huh? Levels. He commands his guards to execute his judgment, and he costs innocent men their lives. Ungodly pride can make us self-centered, short-sighted, egotistical windbags. And that's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar is. And I got to tell you, we are in no way in short supply of this today. Ungodly pride can make us self-centered, short-sighted, egotistical windbags. And you can quote me on that. The rage returns. Now, what's interesting was about 18 years ago, one chapter ago for us, Nebuchadnezzar, through the ministry of Daniel, had encountered God on his terms. He had experienced God. He had experienced his presence. He had experienced his power. And he recognized his primacy. The king recognized, in fact, he says this, the king said to Daniel, truly your God is what? Let's say it together. The greatest. You guys didn't say it with me at all. Let's say it one more time. The greatest. Of God's, the Lord over kings, a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this secret. He says, God, you're supreme. Recognition of God is not the same thing as repentance. Another challenge in our world today is they'll say, oh, well, I believe in God, but that's not repentance to God. Right. Two different things. I'll even go so far as to say this. There are people sitting in church pews today who recognize God, but have not yet repented to God. Then these men were tied up with their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their clothes, and they were thrown into the middle of the furnace. For this reason, because the king's command was harsh and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Free stuff, Ronnie. Got to give you this, right? So I got to thinking about furnaces and, you know, hot. You know, he says, you know, crank it up seven times hotter. I got to thinking about furnaces. Well, let me give you three quick furnaces just for reference. So this is a blacksmith, and the blacksmith I've lost the name of that. What is that? Someone help me. A forge. Thank you. Where'd that come from? Who said that? You did? Okay. It's okay, Chris. It's good. Forged in fire, baby. So they put metal into this so they can shape it into different things. Forging and shaping is typically done at a temperature of 1,400 to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. But if you're going to do forge welding, that's where you actually make two pieces of metal of one. That forge needs to be up at least 2,000 degrees. Now, that's hot. That'll cook a pizza quick. And then this furnace is called a glory hole. Now, you may have heard of a forge, but you may not be as familiar with a glory hole. Well, a glory hole is used in glass blowing. Now, I've had the privilege to do this once under the guidance of a master, and I want you to know, it's incredible. There's a show out there you should go watch, and if you've never seen this process, this is incredible. The glory hole is a gas-fired thing, and its temperature, you like that, a thing, is around 2,000 degrees. Now, that'll cook a pizza extra fast. Now, this is the process by which we make steel. And this process, steel is just an element of iron that has been processed to control the amount of carbon iron out of the ground. And it melts at approximately 2,750 degrees. Now, that's smoking hot. Now, the thing is all three of those a human being can stand next to and not die. So it gives us some context. The furnace, which Nebuchadnezzar had stoked, was so hot that the men throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into it succumbed to the heat. So needless to say. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the middle of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Now, what's interesting here is this. These men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had faith. How do we know? Well, they made the bold statement. King, our God, is able. But even if he doesn't, they faced their fears and uncertainty. Like I said, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to stand by it when you're standing next to the fire. These men trusted their God without seeing him in the fire first. Now, Scripture does not tell us that they saw what we're about to see. Have you ever thought about that? See, if we're not careful, we're so quick to get on with the story that we don't stop and think about the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we are given no indication, do they see in the furnace what we're about to see in the furnace? You see, there's a challenge among us of faith. There's the see and step. Have you ever done that? Well, Lord, I'll do it, but I need to see it first. And then there's the step and see. Now, can I say this? There are times in life where we see and then we step. But I propose to you that the really significant spiritual furnace fires, life-changing events occur when we step and then see. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were stepping in the faith that they would see. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up quickly, and he said to the counselors, "Was there not three men that we threw into the middle of the fire?" And they replied to the king, "Absolutely, king." Like they're going to disagree with him. He gets, you know, he's kind of hot-headed because he's got a temper. And he's standing next to the furnace. He responded, "Look, I see four untied and walking about in the middle of the fire unharmed. And the appearance of the fourth is like the Son of God's." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we have no testimony that they saw the fourth man in the fire until they arrived in the fire. And then the king says, "Wait a minute. Didn't we toss three men in there?" And they go, "Yep. 1, 2, 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I see four." Now I'm about to give you a big word that you can use and sound real smart. What we're experiencing here is a biblical theophany. A biblical theophany is the temporary and sudden appearance of God, which is an enduring presence in a certain place or object. In the Old Testament, we see theophanies. The burning bush. Remember last week? Theophany. Or you may also hear it stated as a Christophany. So what we see here is the fourth man in the fire is the pre-incarnate Christ. Christ hasn't been born yet. We have the privilege of looking back on history. This is Old Testament history, and so Christ has not been born yet. This is the pre-incarnate Christ appearing to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the midst of the fire. The Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace, and he said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." I think we've had a bit of an epiphany in the king's mind, haven't we? Words matter, don't they? Servants of the Most High God, not a God, not kind of God, of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the middle of the fire. The satraps, the prefectors, the governors, the kings, the counselors gathered together. That means all the big muckety mucks. And saw that they had no effect. The fire had no effect on their bodies. These men, on the bodies of these men, nor was their hair singed, nor were their clothes damaged. They didn't even smell like fire. The only thing the fire did was consume the bonds that man had placed on them. Now, if you've ever been around a campfire, you know. If you've ever been in a really good barbecue joint, you know. Siri knows. They come out of the fire, and the only evidence of the fire is that they've been set free by it. It's in the fire that our faith is purified, shaped, and strengthened. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my sad duty to tell you this, that if you want faith that'll stand the test of time and swim in the deep water, you only get it going through the fire. Mile deep faith does not come cheap nor easy. It's only in the fire. Now, there's not a one of us that prays for the fire. But I would call upon us to see the fire in a different light. It's in the fire where we can see God most clearly. Fire has a way of clarifying and simplifying life. I didn't realize this. It didn't really come to my mind as I was preparing this week up until like yesterday. One of the most significant events in my life, one of the original seven times hot furnace events in my life, the anniversary of that is Tuesday in 1977, where I sat next to my mother who died a drunk driver. That's why I limp today, because of this broken leg. That's where I got this beauty mark under my chin. Can I say this? It was a terrible furnace. It was not a furnace that I would ask for, but I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, to the glory of God, that through that furnace, God has done great things. We can see God most clearly through the furnaces of life. It's in the fire where others best see God through us too. Did you ever think about that? Everybody likes to come to the party. But it's when you and I are walking in the midst of the fire that people see God in a life-changing way. When you and I can stand in the midst of the fire and say, our God is able, but even if he doesn't, I'm getting cold chills just thinking about it. There are people with us right this moment that are standing in the midst of the fire, and they are living, and they will pass away in this truth that my God is able. But even if he doesn't, I'll stand. Too many try to preach Jesus in prosperity. But if you'll read the book, the real power comes through the problems. Christianity is not a prosperity faith, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, it's rich. But it is not a prosperity faith if you teach it properly. Oh, but I'll tell you this. A relationship with Jesus Christ and a pursuit of him in every day and in every way will make you wealthier than anything this world will ever afford you. No one longs for the fire, but if God's goals for us as believers is to be transformed into the image of his Son, and for others, to be transformed into the image of his Son and point others to him for salvation, will we shun the fire? Maybe we need to ask God to change our perspective on the fire. And how do I know that? Well, because from the age of 11 till about 22, I really hated God for a lot of reasons. And I told him so in a lot of ways. But it was only when God changed my perspective on the fire that I began to value the fire. And all these years later, I can say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the fire. I wouldn't have asked for it, but I'm thankful for it because I'm a different man. And if I'm a different man, then I'm a different husband. If I'm a different husband, then I'm a different father. If I'm a different father, then I'm a different community member, and I'm a different pastor. You see, that furnace tempered and transformed me into ways I never would have apart from it. And if we as believers in Jesus Christ, if we are ambassadors for the kingdom of God, and if it is our King's goal for us to be transformed in the image of his Son and to lead people in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and if it means going through the fire to do it, will we shun the fire? My friends, we should not. We should not. Because our God is able. And if you claim the name of Jesus today, someone walked through the fire for you. You don't know. You don't know what it took. I don't know what it took for Dewey Davidson to be on that platform all those years ago. I don't know what fires he walked through. But I'm glad that he did it. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants, who put their trust in him. Violating the king's command and surrendered their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or population of any language that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses made a rubbish heap, because there is no other God who is able to save in this way." Wow. Leadership is influence. And influence comes through the fire. Then the king made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego prosperous in the province of Babylon. The Hebrews stood up. "King, we're not going to do it." God showed up. God didn't show up before the fire. God showed up in the fire. Then the king shut up. I don't think his 90-foot statue was all that impressive after this event. In fact, in my sanctified imagination, I think it probably came down and was subsequently dispatched of. We haven't found it, so it's not still existing that we know of. But will all of these things be enough for Nebuchadnezzar? 20 years ago, God showed up, showed out, and showed off. But it didn't work. It didn't hold. Well, now, once again, God has shown up, shown out. But will enough? Will Nebuchadnezzar stay the course? Well, next week, we'll find out. Because here's what I need for all of us to understand is this. Is following God is a daily choice. And sometimes it's a moment-by-moment choice for all of us. Please don't ever allow yourself to think that you've arrived, because as soon as you think that, you're already in jeopardy. It's a day-by-day choice. It's a phone call-by-phone call choice. It's a website-by-website choice. Can I ask you this? If you look back in the rearview mirror of your life, have you seen God in the fires of your life? Has there been a time in your life where in the moment you thought, well, this is it? But now you look back and you go, well, the Lord is faithful. And maybe you get to see the fruits of what God did in and through that event. Have you seen God through the fire? If you have, amen. If you're still wrestling with the fire, it's okay. We all do it. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time for everything. And wrestling is a good thing. Wrestling brings about strength and perseverance. And if you're wrestling, one of my greatest words of counsel to you is this: talk to someone. Just reach out and talk. Talk it through. Because they may encourage you, and you know what? I'm almost confident that you'll encourage them. Because you know, there's not anything new under the sun. And so we encourage one another. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we give you thanks for these men of faith. Lord, who could have taken the path of least resistance. But they chose not to do that. Lord, they stood up and they stood out for you. And Lord, today, sometimes it's just easier to go along and to get along. But Lord, there's a time and there's a place and there's a purpose to stand up. And it'll cause us to stand out beyond a shadow of a doubt. But Father, when we do that, let us do it in humility, in grace, and love, in deep conviction. Father, I pray that beginning with myself, and Lord, I know what this prayer means, Lord, that you'll help me see you in the fire. Because it is my experience, Lord, that I'm either walking out of it or walking towards it. And Father, each and every one of us have our fire story. Father, let us rejoice in your faithfulness and your protection and provision and guidance. Father, let us rejoice in that. Father, let others see you through us in that. Father, we don't long for the fire. But Father, give us a conviction not to try and shun it. Lord, we want to be like your son. We want to be your ambassadors. And Father, we know that the majority of lasting, transformative events only come through the fires of life. Father, help us be strong in you. Father, help us to be strong together. Lord, it's in the fire that the adversary whispers into our ears and into our hearts. Step away. Don't tell them. No one would understand. They'd only think you're weak. Lord, the adversary always seeks to separate the saints. But Father, you say, wherever two or more are gathered in your name, there is our strength. Father, in the midst of the fire, call us together that we might paraclete, Lord, that we might come alongside and hold one another up. Lord, this might be our day to hold someone up because tomorrow we may need held up. But Father, we say amen because we're in this together. Father, help us to be your church in every way, shape, and form. Father, help us to be continually refined by the fires of life. Father, help us to be a clear and accurate delivery system of your good news. Because eternity hangs in the balance. Father, help us to be all that you called us to be. And Father, we'll leave the results to you because that's yours and yours alone. We love you so much for your faithfulness to us. We love you, thank you so much for, Lord, not leaving us the way that you have found us, but transforming us. Father, we thank you for the people we are today in light of the people we used to be. But Father, we thank you that we've not yet arrived. Lord, have your will and your way in us and through us. By Jesus' name we pray. Amen.